I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name's Blue. Alongside of me are the world famous Pot Brothers at Law and the notorious Joe Grande. And you're now listening to the greatest cannabis show on the planet.
Country world.
I definitely would say worldwide now at this point, at least in the 132 countries that we're in.
Or at least here at G4 Live.
That's for sure.
Awards,
that's
man.
For sure at G4 Live, for sure.
Yeah, we want to give a special shout-outs to Connector, Dime, Cali FX, Terpene Warehouse, CC Solutions, Mobile Media Kings, and of course, G4 Live. Joe Grande, let us know what's going down.
Well, once again, thank you for listening to the podcast all around the world, Cannabis Talk 101. You can find us on all social media at Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Waslaw Dog. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. And I don't know who.
Blue is at One Christopher Wright. Hello.
And Joe, me, I'm at Joe Grande 52.
Welcome back,
That's
Joe.
If you care.
Jeez.
You know, it's been a long few days here in Vegas, and it's starting to kick in. But the good thing is, none of us have the story of going from the penitentiary to the penthouse. And we are fortunate enough to run into Jeremy Segal. Jeremy has a book that he wrote called Penitentiary to the Penthouse Book. Jeremy, welcome to Cannabis Talk 101.
Absolutely. Joe, thank you for having me. It was fantastic meeting you. Yes, guys, Prison to Penthouse, it's on my website, but it's an amazing story about embracing confrontation and rising to the top.
So what did you go to jail for?
The first time was for growing marijuana. I was like number 200 to get my weed card out here back in like 08.
Where's out here? We're in Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah, okay. Actually in Vegas. And I had a little more than I should have had. And they gave me like a probation program that I messed up. But yeah, I ended up going to prison, came out homeless and broke. And then that is the journey from going to the top and just building my core strength and whatnot to
using
rise
cannabis.
And conquer. Yeah.
What was that? And by using cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannabis all the way.
Nice. So, you know, I think it's super impressive, like, to say, you know, the book that I'm looking at right now. I love it. So let's talk about the book and what drove you to actually put write your story that you've had to live.
Definitely. So the first time I went to prison was for growing marijuana. But then I came out, I made something of myself, started building law groups, actually. I was really good at positioning. And so I was building injury law firms and doing financially well. But I was still a kind of wild child and ended up going back to prison for like DUIs. And that was where I really kind of had to thrive because I had a big sentence and I didn't fit in at all. I was Jewish and prison's racially segregated, so I'm with all these white boys, swastikas. I don't fit in at all. But in prison, you can't stand out. If you want to go up, you got to bring people up with you.
Yeah.
So the book is about how I thrived in prison and how I've done the same thing before with only a high school diploma, building law groups, and then after coming out with felonies and rise to the top, buying a penthouse, being an elected official, hosting judicial campaigns.
That's amazing.
How did you do it as a Jewish kid in prison?
Man, it's all about putting it all on the line. You know, like in this industry, it's all about fighting, the willingness to fight, putting it out there, you know, and thriving by the rules, you know, and if you get basically just doing whatever the fuck it takes, you know, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that. A lot of people back down. A lot of people are passive and they get kind of pushed around. So in prison, it was really about adding value, about holding your ground and about bringing people up with you.
You mean beating a lot of people up?
Well, I had Let's to do keep that it 100. Once in a while.
Let's keep it 100 right flight. Now. No, I mean, you look happens. Like you were in there just tanking fools.
I got some scars, yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Definitely. So with that being said, I mean, you know, do you still deal with some of the folks that you were in prison with as they're coming out and things like that?
So basically I was in a maximum security prison, not because of my crimes, because of my institutional behavior for allegedly fighting and whatnot. But so in a maximum security prison, you're there with people that are never going home. So I'm still in tight with like the heads of the other races, you know, the Mexican Mafia, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Crips, the Blood. So, you know, I helped them out a little here and there. But definitely prison was like the single greatest investment of my life. In prison, you got to pay attention to like every word, your tone.
Yes.
And it's really about like building your group to get out, not about like being selfish. Because I've seen the biggest dudes get stabbed by four dudes, no problem. You really have to have that core strength, be about that life. And then also like be great with people and like want the best for everybody. And in that sense, you can go to the top.
You know, I think some of the most loyal people are in prison, right? Because they have a different set of rules. And you know,
it's real spit though.
Yeah, it's different. You know, it's not like out. You know, I hear a lot of people do funny things and they get away with them over there. You don't really get away with it.
No.
You know, it's like
wait a minute.
Hold on.
In prison,
let's talk
prison,
about what just happened.
Prison is set up for like maximum observance for the guards. I mean, you're not getting away with anything, and the inmates too. They're seeing everything, so that's why it really is like. People are in life in general, they're really all about show, and you don't get that in prison. You can try it in prison, but then you'll get taken out pretty quickly. So you gotta be a really solid dude. My book is all about building depth, using core strength, treating people right, and in doing so, when you have your depth, you're gonna rise to the top every time.
Fantastic. So what does the book look like when you start digging deep into it? I mean, is this like really your heart and soul of everything, or is it more of an educational, you know, is it a lead magnet? What is your goal behind the book?
So the book is really for anybody that's brand new to a group, and as an outsider, how do you rise to the top every single time? So it does talk about some of my prison experience, but really it's just a set of 30 different things you do every day to rise up and conquer. So it's about being more assertive, learning to embrace confrontations. I mean, that's a huge one. Most people are just too afraid to be themselves, hold people accountable.
Sure.
You know, and that's a big part of building business. That's a big part of moving into legislation is, you know, holding people accountable, embracing confrontations, thriving by the rules. So those are the big ones, but really big on like connecting. How do you connect with people? Using enthusiasm. All those things are in the book, talking about more ideas versus stories.
Your rituals. They're your rituals, correct?
I love it. Be my hype man.
Yeah,
I need
this. Yeah,
we're talking to Jeremy Sigels. Jeremy, not only the book, but I heard you mention elected official. Is that what
we'll
talk about that?
Community elected official. So basically, I moved into a wealthy area when I came out of prison because I had saved up some money while I was in. So I came out, I buy at this really wealthy community, and it's all these like, just entitled people who are running our community. And so I ran for a board of directors position with that community, and I control a $5 million bank account, even as a five-time felon. And it's just like, you know, I got people like Shaq that moved in. I mean, the consulate of Mexico, like it's a lot of heavy hitters, but the main thing is just be a solid person, be transparent. People want to connect. You got to have your guard down. And so a lot of that book is talking about as a man, even when you're challenged and in dangerous situations, how do you thrive by being vulnerable, having your guard down, letting people know exactly what you're about so that you can have that deep connection and rise.
So prison to penthouse. We heard how you went to prison.
Yeah.
You get out. Said you were homeless.
Yeah.
Give us a little step by step. What'd you do?
How did you get to the penthouse, baby?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was a beautiful journey, though. You know, it's interesting. When you come out with nothing, when you have less, you get very focused, and you don't have that pressure. I notice as things get going in life, you start to acquire obligations, and it kind of it doesn't allow you to be creative. So I came out of prison the first time with literally nothing. My houses had been raided from growing weed. I didn't have anything. So I went to a lawyer's office, just a guy I knew, to use his computer and so I could do a resume and use the internet to submit for jobs. And within 4 months, I was not only answering calls for him, but I started managing the law firm, realized I had a real knack for building positions because it was all relationship-based. You know, building relationships with the clients, the doctors, the insurance adjusters, the lawyers. And when you do that, when you have a good system, everybody's treated right, you start to thrive. You start to be consistent. These insurance companies know what you're about. So I really started building these businesses, saving up. Then because I had done some acquired success, I started buying really nice cars, and the police really didn't like that. So that's how I ended up going back to prison, was mainly driving crimes. I had a paranoia of police at one point, so I wouldn't even stop. I think I'm getting better at that.
Where's Chris at? We have a police officer around here. Oh, he left. That's right. We already shipped
Chris
him
Eggers?
Out.
Yeah, Chris already bounced.
He left.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you know, obviously you've changed your mindset. And being able to do that, I understand thoroughly myself. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles in a very cultural deprived area. And that has leveled me into a fantastic place, so I could truly understand your mission. So what would you give somebody, you know, that's coming out of prison, you know, for the first time, or even somebody that's in their own mental prison? Because,
exactly.
You know, it's a mental prison versus a physical, too. And
yeah.
For a lot of people, like you said, they're not willing to express themselves. They don't know how to.
Yeah.
And those things are brilliant, you know, words. And I love giving that kind of motivation, because
yeah.
that's what we're here to do, and remind people once they could use their imagination, it'll never go back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once your imagination grows. So what would you give to those advice for those people, you know, that are listening, that will help them in their you know, vision towards
yeah.
where they're going?
The first thing I'll give them, just for hanging out and listening with us, I want to give you guys a free copy of my book. If you text the number 42828, text the word GAIN, G-A-I-N, to 42828, it automatically sends you a copy of the book. The book is a absolutely great place to start. It's going to show you the process you go through, and how do you invest in yourself and in people and push through? How do you make adversity and hardship the greatest thing that ever happened to you? And then that's a big part of thriving. Another thing I would give is, I mean, I have video courses, simple things like fixing your posture, drinking more water, and honestly, like, being more assertive. That is a art that you have to master, and holding people accountable, not letting people push you around. I mean, being passive is when you're more concerned about them than you are you. Being aggressive is when I don't give a shit about you, I care about me. But assertive is that mutual respect, that mutual aspect, and that is where you need to learn to thrive, embrace that discomfort, and start to build your team, start to give people your best, adding value. So a lot of it, I guess, to start is being selfish and bringing value in yourself, you know?
Well, it's a great thing. We appreciate you, Jeremy, for coming on. Penitentiary to the Penthouse is the book. I'm assuming you can
Prison
find
to
on-
Penthouse.
Prison to Penthouse.
Prison to Penthouse.
Yep.
Sorry
Definitely.
About that.
It's okay.
I'm assuming you can find that at Amazon.
It's on Amazon. It's on my website, strongpositions.com. So please check me out. Instagram, LegalQS, LegalQs. So I'd love to give you guys anything I can. And here is the May Your Best Be Always Ahead.
Once again, thank you very much. We're all the way live at G4 Live. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this. Woo!
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Now it's time for the women of Cannabis Talk 101 with the skinny queen, Janae Ault, and Playboy playmate, Christine Smith.
This is Janae Ault.
And I'm Christine Smith.
And you are vibing with the women of Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome. It is a beautiful day here. We're celebrating. We are in the zone, everyone.
G4, woo!
Yes. So in a zone.
Yes. And beautiful queen, introduce yourself to everyone.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I am your girl, GinaJ.info. Too infamous for, you know, cannabis queening shit.
Ooh, Gina J.
Gina J.
Yes. So baby. Tell us, like, how do you get a name like that?
Oh, shit. Oh, shoot. Should I say shoot?
You can say whatever you want. Okay. Looking like that.
Hey, boo. I like her. I'm taking her and putting her up. I need you in my pocket. I need both y'all
in
my pocket. I'm
glad.
I got two pockets. I'm taking you guys with me.
All you need to do is dangle weed and I'll go anywhere you want.
Girl. Gina J is pretty funny. I never was really comfortable with being a personality. I was always behind the scenes in media. And my person told me, you know, you need to go ahead and make yourself something. It's time to step out in front of the camera and not behind them. But you have to represent yourself as a personality. Nobody wants to know a boring go you. And so Gina J became, Gina is a part of my real name. Regina is my name. I sliced off the R-E and added a J-A-Y at the end. And the J is because introducing myself in the beginning, I used to hand out J's as my business card.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is such a cool way. Yes.
Yeah. So it was like a dope introduction. People constantly came up asking for business cards. I literally had to keep the shit rolling. Like, I'd go like, give me 5 minutes. I go, the car start rolling real quick. Okay, I'm back. I went to get my business cards.
So you wrote your number on the joints then?
No, I didn't ever even go that far. The cold part is I really didn't want, I wasn't ready for the connection, but just the following. It was really more social. People were like, so what's your handle? Yes. You know? And so it became the attachment to the handle. Whatever you need to feed, you know what I mean, behind the branding and marketing. And
the connection, too, that you made with the person.
That
you would know by the end of the joint,
you know,
if you wanted their number, right?
And this happened about 5 years ago, so I had real good flower. I was known for the girl with good tree.
That's good. Okay, you are my new best friend, just so you're aware.
Baby girl, I got something for you.
Woo! So you know how to grow, then.
I am not your grower. I am your influencer. I'm here to tell you who is growing it properly.
Yes. So you're an influencer. So have you tried? We're in the Cannabis Talk 101 Cali Effects booth. Did you try the Cali Effects yet?
Baby girl, no, I haven't. I'm going to tell the truth. Cali Effects is going to be tried tonight, though.
Woo! Are you coming on the party bus?
You know what? I think I am joining you. You guys keep tempting me with this party.
I'll bring you a sex pen. pen.
I was on the pen. I'm coming.
Hey, you may be coming with that sex pen.
I seen you in that jacket, and I was sold. Like, this thing, you guys are hot. Ladies, women of cannabis, okay, girls.
Yeah, Janae's repping Cannabis Talk 101 on her back. You guys can't see. I'm repping Cali FX.
Yeah, if you see this jacket, this jacket is
Cali FX and also Skinny Weed, because we know we all have that quarantine 15. So if you need a little skinny in your life, I'm the skinny queen.
Oh, that's the skinny. Okay, look, I might need a little bit of skinny from you. I'm going to borrow some skinny out of you.
Yeah, girl, I have it all day, every day. Skinny town.
She's got skinny pills. I've got skinny vapes. We'll get you, girl. We'll get you in shape.
Look at my baby's trying to get me here.
What's your favorite part of G4 so far?
Honestly, okay. I'm not going to lie. Travis set that shit off.
Right? Oh, my God. Dude, that was fire.
Travis brought me in the water. Right. Yo, I did some things I normally wouldn't even
do. Were you dancing?
I was out there with the mermaid, you know, splashing.
No.
Yeah, I was.
Wait, describe to the listeners. What were you wearing?
A sweater. You know, like
a sweater
it was
pretty,
in the
it was
pool. Chilly. I was in
it
a
was
sweater.
Cold. It was fun, though.
It was cold. I'm not going to lie. But the heat that came off the stage... It was so much fire that Travis put off that stage. And not only that, not undermining
fire
the other artists.
Put off that stage.
But oh my goodness, when he put on. So that is definitely one of my take home. I went to school with Travis and I went to the same school. So
That's so cool.
He put on for our city. And Fontana is our city. So salute Travis Barker for putting on for Fontana, California.
What's your favorite song by him?
I don't know if I had a favorite because, you know, it's a group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why am I saying song? Yeah.
But, I mean, seeing him do something so solo and dolo, like that thing, what he did, he needed no group.
No.
And the way he revived music through a drum.
It was amazing, too.
Phenomenal.
Like, I felt like, you know, we were coming out of this quarantine and stuff. It was to see somebody in front of us, like, really allow himself to just be in the moment. It was pretty... It was a special thing. You know, you get to see people in their art and, like, when they're really in their zone. And to me, Travis, that was him in his own zone.
It's kind of like how Bud Tenders represents Bud Tenders.
Yes.
And shout out to the Bud Tender Awards.
Shout out to the Bud Tenders. And so we're excited because it's the time for the high five.
High five. Woo!
Woo! So we have these questions that we ask, not in any random order, but here's the first one. How old were you when this the first time that you smoked, and where did it come from?
First time I smoked, I was 17. I was at a baseball party in high school. Salute the baseball team. They nominated me for homecoming. I was at a baseball team. I ain't gonna lie. I hit something and I was scared to go home.
Right?
Reason
like my
being,
mama knows.
No, my father smoked.
Oh.
And so I was like, shh. He knew everything. I don't know what it was, but he, and I'm pretty for sure the weed lets you know. Cannabis lets you know.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he knew everything. And he was just like, I was more nervous going home. But honestly, he was asleep, so praise God.
You, like, snuck in so fast.
I snuck in so fast, laid up in that sheet, and, you know, I was out. I didn't have to see him. But I don't even imagine if I had to see him. But that was the first time at a baseball party with the baseball boys. Salute you. And after that, I didn't smoke till 19, till I got my own job to purchase my own medicine.
Dang.
Yeah.
All right, number two, what is your favorite way to use cannabis?
I am a flower child.
Ooh, what's your favorite strain?
Honestly, I'm like an indica baby. So I'm not going to say favorite. I've been getting introduced to, I'm an influencer, so I get introduced to some amazing stuff out here. I visit cultivations, and there's some hands out there, you know. So I don't want to undermine anybody, but honestly, I'm the OG girl. So if you want to feather my fancy, you want to tickle me pink.
Yay, I can't wait.
Then OG me, baby.
Woo, I can't wait for you to try this Cali FX sex pen then. You like, if you're an influencer, I can't wait to hear it because you are like an expert. Yeah. All right, I didn't have, now I got all excited. Oh, wait, am I asking the next question or are you, Janae?
Go ahead.
Is it on me? No, I just asked the last one. It's you. You're number three.
All right, so the craziest place you've ever used cannabis or smoked?
Bossa Nova.
Whoa! Woo! Bossa Nova.
We put on in Bossa Nova during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Bossa Nova but thank you. We appreciate you because they kind of kept it on the hush. Like, we told them it's coming from over your fence.
Yes.
It's definitely not us.
Definitely not us.
Might want to go take a peek over in the other parking
right.
lot. But they let us through. They knew what it was. But Bossa Nova, we appreciate you. That was probably the craziest place. And honestly, I'm trying to get a team of real ones. This is so bad to say this. I'm an influencer, so whatever. I'm too grown to really be doing a lot of amusement parks, but anybody want to meet at Knoxbury Farm? I'm just trying to say.
All right, my favorite question to ask, what is your go-to munchies after you get high?
Who? There are some good edibles. Before I go to bed, I will do an edible for a munchie. Because I'm going right to bed. I ain't going to do it through the day. So if you guys expect me to try your edibles throughout the day, you're going to have to come home with me. But absolutely, my favorite, I'm a chocolate baby. I'm a chocolate. So if I can have some fruit with chocolate, Aussie berry,
ooh,
or something,
that sounds
you know,
good.
Like a chocolate covered
yes.
strawberry, or something chocolate covered pineapple, you know, I'm kind of a little bougie. Got a little bougie taste, but yeah.
All right. So if you could smoke cannabis with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Woo! Did they have to smoke?
Nope. And,
could I have influenced them?
I think they do have to smoke. I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm an influencer.
Hey, panel, pit. Do they have to smoke weed? Dead or alive? Do they have to smoke weed? No?
No, they don't.
Okay, all right. Jen and Pitt, say no.
Who would I have influenced? Who would I have influenced to smoke some tree?
Uh-oh, some tree.
Because I'm an influencer. Canny babies. Jeez. That's a tough call right there for me. I'ma call God. I'ma probably call on my brother Jesus.
Jesus, smoking weed with Jesus.
Y'all don't think it was
hey,
the earth?
He made it. He made
Come
it.
On
you
now.
Know he's gonna smoke
oh,
it.
Oh no, why not smoke with the truth? The truth is the truth. And so I don't know. That's something it's pretty close to the truth. Why not get any higher, the higher than most, right?
Yeah. What so. Do you think Jesus's favorite strain would be?
He's an OG, baby!
OG! OG Kush! Jesus would love OG Kush.
OG baby, I know he's OG. I know, I feel it. I feel it in my soul. You know, kind of, he got them Adam curls. From what the pictures detail, he got Adam curls, you know.
Yeah.
That looked like Amen. A little OG spun in there.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming today. We're so excited to have you today at G4 in the Cannabis Talk booth. Women of Cannabis. Janae, how do
rock.
We follow you?
Yeah, well, make sure you guys check out Skinny Weed if you're looking for that, looking get rid of that quarantine 15. Skinny Weed will be on your side. Listen, I've given my life to it. I'm the queen. I'm the skinny queen. You can follow me at Skinny Weed Janae. And where can they follow you, queen?
You can follow me at GinaJ.info. I appreciate you, queens. Keep
Thank
putting
you.
On for us, you guys. We need you, women. We really
yes.
need you, women. Keep honoring us in high regards. High.
Thank you.
Regards.
And you can follow me at Christine's Fire. And I have to ask you before you leave the famous Cali Effects question. Are you connected?
Am I sitting with the connection?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then. We plugged in.
Well, this has been an amazing show. It's been a great G4 Live.
It has.
And we're going to just let it all go, and it's been magical.
Thank you so
magical.
Much, G4. Woo!
Thank you, G4. Buttender.
Buttender War.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Women of Cannabis Talk 101 with the skinny queen, Janae Ault, and Playboy Playmate, Christine Smith.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Alongside me is the world-famous Pop Brothers of Law and Mr. Joe Grande. And you are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show right here at the Mandalay Bay G4 Live. What's going down, boys?
Well, you know, there's been so many great people coming around, walking around. And now we have Adrian Destiny, R.E., Dimitri Downing from MITA-AZ.org.
Mita.
And it was cool because last night, Dimitri, we got a chance to talk a little bit about what you guys do and how you guys help so many people out. But explain exactly what Mita-AZ.org is.
So Mita is the Marijuana Industry Trade Association of Arizona. As we have all these siloed market structures, people need to know who to do business with and how to do business in those particular states. So Mita has developed a format that's sort of like the gateway to the Arizona marketplace. If you're looking to learn or do anything with any dispensaries, cultivators, manufacturers, brands, ancillary, auxiliary, investment, etc., Mita is a one-stop shop for all that activity. On top of that, we do political stuff in the state, and we also do lobbying, political stuff. We also do educational programs and involve a lot of other aspects of the cannabis community as well.
One of the things I love on the website, it says, we are the voice of Arizona's cannabis industry.
Yes.
Our mission is to help Arizonans' cannabis industry with business and stay informed, network, and thrive. We work directly with policymakers to ensure that Arizona's program is fair, rightly regulated, and successful. How hard is that to make sure when you say the word fair? I always think of the term when I hear life fair is unfair, and I go, you want fair? Go to Pomona, homie.
We're in LA.
It's
down,
at the Pomona. You mean, go to Orange County. There's the fairgrounds. Because there ain't shit fair in life.
You know, there is no absolute fair. In my understanding of markets, regulatory structure, and cannabis economics has evolved over the last 9 years that I've been involved. And I've truly realized that the only fairness is a free market tomato approach to cannabis. That allows everyone to participate
with
their own skill, their own resources, their own knowledge, and to create a framework where everyone has equal opportunity based on their own.
So when you say that, for me, it's like the fair market's been the illicit market, right, for so many years, because it has been that. So the people that were fortunate enough to just have it built on their backs before regulation came in play, we're talking about people that were just growing anywhere and doing what they had to do. And I believe that about the plan as well, with some regulations, though, making sure that the people are conscious and not giving out fast food or bad products, you know, because I do think there should be regulations, but I think it shouldn't be such a hard entryway.
You know, there's a lot to be learned from the OGs. How many OGs were giving out bad product in 1996, though? I mean, let's be honest. How many were? Not that many.
Well, I'm about to say, we really don't know, but most of them were truly organic and passionate about what they were doing. And yeah. So once it started becoming something that was different and people were trying to make their plants thrive because they could use accelerators that had, you know, metals and toxins in them because they realized that that would give them more quality.
Everybody wanted those bragging rights.
It was more of a dollar push versus a quality push. So you're right. A lot of these people that were from that, you know, the legacy market, if you will, didn't really dive into that. And so it started coming, I think, right after it started the legalization and everything else.
You know, I'm an ex-prosecutor. I got into the industry after.
Oh, man.
Give him a break. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Hey, he was just doing his job.
I know. I met him in the court system twice.
See Dimitri Downey.
Hey, so I wanted to ask you, do you remember me?
No. Hold on. Take your shirt off.
You went
the tattoos.
Do you remember me now?
He went straight to jail. I never had a deal with him.
That's right. I forgot.
We didn't even give him initial appearance, we just threw him in.
Weird is that, being a former prosecutor being like a supportive activist of cannabis?
You know, I mean, I'm always genuine about this. When I came into the industry, I was thinking to myself, my family got a dispensary in Sedona. What a wonderful place. And how can I get involved?
I love Sedona.
And I was also an economic developer. Excuse me, I quit prosecuting. I went and did defense work, but I didn't want to be a salesman all day long. And you know what it's like being a defense attorney. It's a lot of collections, so that wasn't for me. Did economic development. The cannabis industry sucked. So at first, I was looking at the cannabis industry as another business model. While I was in the cannabis industry, I discovered the culture, the community, the OGs who are suffering more than anyone. Yep. And so it changed my perspective.
Sure.
So I changed my perspective.
Yeah.
In my voice.
So and I feel the same way. Like for me, you know, I come from that market, right? My family has, you know, been growers all our lives. You know, my dad taught me how to sell cannabis and, you know, also taught me that no other drugs were accepted, just cannabis. And at the time, you know, I think, you know, growing up for our household, it wasn't illegal in our home. It was normalized. And then watching others, you know, grow up into it now. And then I had to convert and get myself to a more business professional level to be able to adapt and deal with all the new markets coming into it. Because for a long time, it was a street game thing. And now it's starting to become a professional business and we need to scale it. So in order to, we need to do the right research and put the right people in place.
Right. And one of the biggest challenges, which you're, you know, heading into, is how do you get past the regulations? How do you get past the market structure? How do you learn about these things? There is no college course at the Eller College of Business, the big college of business in University of Arizona, but they don't teach you anything about cannabis and the nuances of the regulatory structure, the market structure, and the history since it went medicinal in 2012,
sure.
How it evolved, who controls what, what's happening and why. So what MEDA has done is set upon helping those who want to get involved, educate them about how it works. And Arizona's new adult use laws created the social equity program. So we're taking taking advantage of that to educate thousands of Arizonans, whether they're 18-year-old college students or whether they're people that believe they qualify under what is yet to be a defined social equity program, about how the Arizona cannabis industry works. So that's a huge part of what MEDA does, is educate people for free how to get involved in the cannabis industry. And that's all we can do.
And you know, I see MEDA says members. How does someone become a member of MEDA?
Membership.
How do you become a member of MEDA?
Well, you have to sign up, www.mita-az.org. We have sponsorship decks, we have membership packages. Anyone can become a member. You know,
a cost?
Yeah, there is a cost, but there's no cost for the social equity program that we're doing. That's free to the entire country if they want to learn about Arizona cannabis, how we cultivate, the retail aspects, human resource, insurance, compliance, all the unique aspects that are cannabis, we try to help people with.
So the social equity program, like in LA and other places.
Are you talking right now or just
trying to get it out?
How about type it out?
You need
a step stool to get closer to the mic button?
The problem is...
I thought he was mad at me.
No. See, I have three other co-hosts who don't like to talk too much. Talk for most, so that's why I lost my voice.
Yeah, but the only problem when he talks, it's at a hotel room, not on the air, doing his job.
It's your hotel room.
Well, since you said prosecutor, he's been giving me that eye. I can see I'm behind the sunglasses.
I forgive you for that. You were doing your job.
Well, you are an attorney, right?
I suspended so many sentences. I suspended so many fines.
Then now I love you. But my question
he's
was...
He's lying. He ain't just shit.
My question, though, what's the social equity program look like in Arizona versus what we've heard from, like, California and other states where all we see is...
All kinds of predatory messes.
Practices from rich investors trying to take advantage. What's it look like in Arizona?
So in Arizona, the adult use passed in November 2020, and in it was all the medicinal dispensaries graduate into adult use dispensaries January 2021. On top of that, there's 13 county backfill licenses and 26 social equity licenses that are being issued. All these licenses are trading on the secondary market for $10 to $25 million. So they're gigantic.
Not bad.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. So, and I mean, it's not...
It's like the opposite of the point, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I didn't write the law.
No, I know. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but how do we fix it? It's happening all over the nation.
Yes,
it's starting to roll out, and it's getting accepted. Well, how do we fix it? What do we do?
Well, I'm gonna pull out my magic wand right now.
Yes,
and I'm gonna wave. No, what we need, look. I mean, the social equity programs, while well-intended, whether they're passed through initiative or structured by legislators or citizens, are always going to have nuances, gaps, mistakes, occurrences that you can't overcome, such as the nature of all government activity. Very well-intended, but it becomes an absolute mess.
Sure.
The way we fix it is the free market.
Absolutely.
Let the chips fall where they may. Let everyone get involved. So if you really want
like
social
equity... Like a liquor
license.
Well, I was about to say that.
Even beyond that, it needs to be like dirt. Where you can go pick up dirt, sell dirt, do whatever you want. Just the free market will solve that problem.
Because the great companies will thrive. And ultimately, I truly believe that...
I like that theory.
It's true. I've been a proponent for that for a long time. And I do believe, though, once it becomes federally legal, it is going to get rolled out. But it's going to come out so fast through the Costcos and the smoke shops and the 7-Elevens. In my opinion, that it's going to be another cash grab, and it's going to be very difficult for the mom and pop to actually sustain themselves in this market. Why this project that you guys are working is right. So important.
Well, the fact of the matter is all regulation, I'm going to take a selfie real quickly here. All regulation is the drug war 2.0. All regulation is the drug war 2.0.
Yep.
And all we're conceding, all we're advancing, all we're supporting is the drug war 2.0. 15, 25 years from now, we're going to have to go back and look at things. Why should you get a civil sanction? Why should you get a criminal sanction? In Arizona, there's still a lot of criminal sanctions in place. You know, these are some nuances about economic theory that are not being discussed by many people. But I know you guys understand them. So all we're doing at MEDA is the best that we can do. So the initiative said 26 licenses are going to be issued, social equity licenses, to whoever qualifies for social equity. So we looked at the situation and said, okay, it's a mess to hold people accountable. Sometimes there's straw men, all these things occur. A lot of that stuff. We can't do anything about that. Who and how they decide is eligible for social equity, we can opine, all of us can opine as to who deserves social equity. I always say, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? And Jesus would say that we're all eligible for social equity, right?
WWJD, let's make cannabis legal.
Okay. So, but again, we have the reality of the laws, which we have to work with. So we thought to ourselves, well, we have such a huge network in Arizona of industry leaders. And I'll be frank, they all want to do business with these future license holders, right? They want to sell them flowers. They want to sell them edible lines. They want to have relations, management contracts. So I called a few of them. I said, would you guys be willing to teach and educate and train people about what happened over the last 9 years, how their industry works, who is who, and share that with the potential social equity applicants, which I knew at that time was anyone.
Right.
Anyone by the law. It's anyone. It's now being narrowed down in June, but we started this in January. So if you go to our website, there's over about 100 hours of industry leaders with their emails talking about how the industry works. So we challenged the industry to provide free education for the social equity applicants. What we accidentally ended up doing was providing everyone free education. So it's a great thing. And we couldn't do it if, like, I called the guys at Weed Maps and I said, look, this is what I want to do. And they're like, so you're giving lots of education and free information to everyone. That's the spirit. That's the philosophy of our company. We're down. They sponsored us. Copper State, Arizona company, said, look, we don't want any weird deals or anything. We just want to help Arizonans. Sponsorship. Zuber Lawler, another company, said, we want to sponsor. Scottsdale Community College, they want to teach about the cannabis industry in that business format for decades to come. So they need to know who's who and how the Arizona cannabis industry works. So they jumped on board. So more and more companies and members of those companies have come on board and say, well, you know what? We can't define what social equity is. We can't control all these weird business maneuvers and manifestations that occur. But what we can do is teach. And teaching is the beginning of social equity. I think Jesus said that.
Dimitri, let me ask you, what you're doing is so amazing.
I don't remember if I said that or not, but go ahead.
But yeah. Everything you're doing with Mita is
government, huh?
You're the founder of Mita, and you know, it's, I don't know, is it only in Arizona right now? Because everything you're doing needs to be in every state.
Correct. I agree with you. It needs to be completely
international,
national.
So I love what you're doing in Arizona, and I know you're the founder of Mita-AZ, but we need Mita-CA, we need Mita-NV, we need Mita-FL,
Mita-USA.
And we're looking at going that direction. Everything that we're doing is in every state already, but it just needs a little water to germinate and to grow.
That's like me. I'm a grower, not a shower as well.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know
Everybody froze up.
Unfortunately, I can vouch for both of them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adrian. You're right.
There's
you're
a rule.
Not supposed to tell everybody that.
Look, Adrian, when you're in the locker room, you don't look, okay? So I'm not going to ask any questions.
All right, cool.
Speaking of that, you have some lovely ladies and Adrian next to you. What are the roles there? I know we have a few people that are part of...
she runs everything.
Do we have Destiny and Ari and as well as Adrian? So Destiny, what do you do with the company?
I am the director of operations. I started actually just on their social media. I hit them up and I said, do you guys need help on social media? And that was about 4 years ago. And from there, I met Dimitri. I started working very closely with Dimitri, and I saw his vision, his mission, and I help him bring out his message to everybody. So.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Remember, the biggest mistake Jesus made was picking men as apostles.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? And Ari, what do you do with the company?
I do a little bit of everything. I started doing promotions for them. Right now, I'm in the process of trying to help them find social equity applicants and trying to push that a little bit more and try to help them expand. Hopefully, like you said, take it national.
I love that idea. And Adrian, what are you doing with these cats?
I've recently... actually, this will be the first time I'm saying this publicly. On 420, I officially stepped down from my ambassadorship with former President Vicente Fox of Mexico. And when I heard what Dimitri was doing...
He stepped down or he fired you? Let's talk about it. Let's just be honest.
We can have that conversation. So, no. After 2.5 years of service in philanthropy, I stepped down. You know, the foundation is a wonderful organization. President Fox and Mrs. Fox are amazing human beings. But as you know, like I know... the game of working hard is tremendous in philanthropy. If money happens to come along, it's great. But after 2.5 years of service, what I found out with Mita and Dimitri was doing social equity, it was only right to see what our sister state was doing north of the border to Mexico. Mexico has pending legalization coming September, fingers crossed.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they did delay again, and they are in violation of some things, but hopefully they'll iron that out. And we're looking forward to an interesting summer.
I never got what you do with the company, though. You talked all about yourself, which was nice, and thank you for informing the listeners. But we have no fucking idea what you do with Mita.
Director of Special Projects.
And only because I listen. You know what I mean? Mark doesn't. Maybe Blue didn't listen to you, but I listened to you, and you didn't answer my question. So thank you.
I'll never fold under questioning you.
Man.
Director of Special Projects. The post... pandemic or infodemic, you know, gatherings like G4, the Mita monthly gatherings that happened in Phoenix. The first one went down last month. We had a little over 300 decision makers and industry leaders, not just in the state of Arizona, but all over the country. We had guests like Jane Plank from Bovida, one of our sponsors. She's got a booth here. We had Mara and Amanda from G4 come visit.
Yes, a lot
of our attendees came, and just the germination that came from that. There's Keith Allen right there,
The
next best dressed man at this place.
G4 Live.
He is a sexy human being.
You know, if I could share a little bit about why Mita works, is that, you know, I was having a cup of, because the owners of the licenses gathered since 2012 in Arizona. 2016, in May, the first Mita, one of the owners of four, they're now Curaleafs, but he was sitting over in the corner sipping brandy, you know, just hanging out, just watching. And we had Weed Maps and Leafly and all the sponsors. and the rest of the ones were all sitting there. I'm like, could you go network with the vendors? Because they're the ones who we build these organizations on the back of. And he's like, I'm not interested. I said, well, could you bring your C-suite and your management to the meeting? Because they are. They're looking to learn, to share, to grow, to acquire new, what's sure. best, what's the latest. So Mita quickly transitioned from an ownership club. Also, they wanted, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but you guys are cool. One person wanted to, they asked me, can you make Mita into a guild so that we can control the price of marijuana in Arizona?
Jesus.
And I said, first of all, that's probably illegal. Second of all, it's just not in the spirit of what we're trying to do here. But third of all, I respect your honesty and your desire to make money.
The cannabis guild, like the actors
guild.
Well,
no, yeah. but so the two things, and I wanted to mention this because everybody always talks about big pharma and all this other stuff. The real enemy of cannabis is big money in big cannabis that's out there lobbying, trying to control and manipulate things for their own interests. And if anybody doesn't understand that, they're blind and they should stop talking about tobacco or this or that. They need to understand how things are being manipulated by a few to control it and from the many from having it. But we'll talk about it in a second. So Mita has the synergy of all those C-suite management people that are looking for those new things, those new ideas.
Well, it's great. Once again, Mita-AZ.org. Dimitri, everything you're doing is awesome. Like I said, I hope you guys are really get it national because it's so interesting. And standing up for the people like this, standing up for the rights, and once again, that key word that I love that is never going to work but fair. And it's like what we always try to get to. But it's so hard to understand because there's always somebody trying to take that upper hand, whether it's, you know, the customer, the merchant, the government, Big Brother, police. Everyone's trying to figure out what is fair. So when you have an organization that's trying to say, hey, let's try to balance it out for everyone and come to a common ground, I commend you for doing this and putting this together. Yes. And hopefully it goes nationwide because this is the type of shit we need in this community.
Well, like you guys caught Cali FX. They're one of your sponsors. Yes, and they understand that brands understand that there needs to be a smooth transition and interstate commerce. Brands want to be everywhere. And they have to deal with the hurdles and obstacles, the artificial barriers to entry that are being designed state by state. So it could be that brands come to support Mita National so that we can take it national. Now, there brands, ancillary, auxiliary, companies like Weedmaps, everybody wants to see interstate commerce. And most importantly, the consumers and the patients deserve choices and good interstate commerce. So we'll see if we can get Mita National together with the brands, with groups like Cannabis Talk, who I assume you guys aren't built on the back of MSOs. I don't know, but...
Who? Yeah.
Comment. Look,
no.
you got GTI.
We're built off the legacy market, sir.
No, okay. We're good. No, but you got.
Number 100, bro.
Proudly.
You got people investing hundreds of millions of dollars in their business strategies, whether it's in Missouri or Pennsylvania or Florida or Arizona, and those hundreds of millions of dollars have to be answered to.
Yeah.
And when you're paying $20 million for an Arizona license, you think that money is not going to try to protect itself?
Oh,
and
that's
directly contrary to the interests of the brands and the interests of the consumers and the interests of patients. If Mita can get enough synergy and enough people working together, working with you guys, maybe we can take it national.
You know, I'll tell you what, I'm all for it. I love what you guys are doing. I understand your vision. I believe in your vision. You know, and it's important that we do link together and make sure that we all follow a same goal, because what happens a lot of times is we forget that we're all in the same environment. We're all here to help. It's just there's a lot of bad actors, and sometimes those bad actors don't know how to contain themselves because they're just for that quick grab. And you'll know by the people that are still here next year and the year after and the year after, because they can't get a quick grab if you're just here every year, because at the end of the day, you've got to face the same people. And so ultimately, I think our goal as a, you know, and our responsibility is to create companies like Mita and be a part of these movements and get as many people involved as we possibly can. So sincerely, you guys are doing great work, and I love it.
Thank you.
Well,
man.
You know, one of the mistakes that Jesus made was he walked into the temple and he
Would you stop talking about me like that?
No. Well, you guys are all about religion.
Try not to use my
I was told to use the Jesus metaphor.
This guy's Jewish.
This is Mark Wasserman, by the way.
He's a Wasserman. That's why we're here. No, we're Hollywood.
My brother's the one. He's the Jew for Jesus.
Oh, there he is. Look.
You don't.
He raises his hand with a cross. He's all.
Todarabamot, actually.
Shalom.
You don't walk into the tables and you don't walk into the temples and flip the tables. You walk into the temple with your ideas and you talk to the people and you figure out how they can make more money. And then the greater ideas like hope, freedom, and opportunity will always win. So that's you. Those are big ideas.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that we forgot? Me, once again, if you want to check out the website, it's mita-az.org. Mita, yes. az.org. Anything else you guys want to plug?
Yes. Last
anything
thing.
Else that you're doing, Adrian, besides work with Mita, maybe?
Tune in with me
to
on
your
September
podcast.
Tune in with me on September 2nd, 2021. I'm working on some stuff. But last thing I want to say is what Mita does is their monthly mixer that happens every month at the Foundry Hotel in downtown Phoenix, happening this Wednesday, the 26th. We've heard from various bands like Grove Bags, who's here. It's their favorite monthly gathering. So 300 of the decision makers who get together, they cut deals. Brad, people like Dennis D'Alessio, Cali FX, Dennis, you were there last month. Christine Smith, they're coming out again. It really is the beehive where everyone gets together. The nectar, the can nectar of the community where the honey gets made, that's where it's at. But please come out Wednesday the 26th. Visit our website, mita-az.org.
Don't forget Cali FX Connector. It's Cannabis Talk 101. And remember this, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.